This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey guys, it's Damon from the PureCast. The New Japan PureCast is proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight from Japan to your mailbox. Check out their selection of in-stock merch like t-shirts, action figures, magazines, trading cards, or use their purchasing service to order items from Japanese websites like the New Japan Shop. Like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, GaijinCollectibles.com.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan PuroCast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday, May 7th, and Damon, boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. Wrestling Dontaku is in the books, and the main event for Dominion on June 11th is all set. Damon, do you have anything to say about that?
All right, yeah, you go ahead. Well, all right. Listen, I don't have a problem with it being Dominion.
They did the right thing, didn't they? Say it. They did the
right thing. By who?
What's best for business.
For who? I mean, again, and here's the thing. We don't even know what the situation's going to be post-Dominion. So, hey, listen, they could go a 60-minute fucking Broadway and then have a rematch in Long Beach. That won't happen, but I'm not giving up too much. Look, I know. Listen, what do you say? You want me to say I'm getting stuck with fucking Cody Rhodes? Is that what you want me to tell you?
I just want to make sure that you're cool with Omega defending against Yoshihashi at these Long Beach shows. I just want to make sure you're okay with that.
Look, I'm holding out hope that these shows will be spectacular. I'm holding out some hope. So listen, I've said it a trillion times, but we all know the benefits of why this should be what it should be. I wouldn't be surprised now, looking at the main event of Okada and Omega at Dominion, that we get Omega riding into Long Beach, holding on to the title. I think, I want to say that that's the case, but who fucking knows, man? Right? I mean, the way this company books keeps us on our toes, that's for sure. You would think the thing to do would be that. I think everybody's kind of leaning in that direction, but boy, I would have loved to have seen that Omega Okada again.
Well, you saw it once, and
that's all I get, right? That's, yep. I can't have anything more.
Nope.
Okay.
That is what you get. You saw a 6-star match and you're good.
I'm not good. I want a little more. I could go for another
it's
round.
Always more. Always more and more with you.
I'm a glutton for stars. I want all of the stars. So what do you think we get at Long Beach?
You know, that's a great question. I think Omega is definitely going to be walking in as IWGP Heavyweight Champion. You had alluded to a potential rematch before. Mm-hmm. I think that's way too early to do Omega Okada 3. I think that's a main event that you're going to want to save for Wrestle Kingdom 12, perhaps.
Okay. All right, well, let me ask you this, because I would agree. When I sat here, not even here, when I sat in the Tokyo hotel room, and we talked about post-match and how, okay, keep them apart until the Dome. I don't think that's what they have in mind at this point, or even previous to this point. To me, I think all signs lead toward Okada Naito.
I think that's a strong possibility, for sure.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if we're doing Okada Omega, unless Okada Omega is so silly, ridiculously great, and hey, why not? You know, why can't it be silly, ridiculous, great that they just they can't turn their back on it, right? I'm telling you, I really feel like the summer is maybe I made too much out of it. Maybe what I was told, the people, they made too much out of it. But we have a real strong situation to get some new eyeballs, and I thought that would be the match to do it, Okada Omega. But if we're going to do it at Dominion, again, unless it's just silly, unbelievable buzz, and we had to do it again at the Dome, to me, they purposely kept Naito and Okada apart. They've had zilcho when it comes to interaction. I kind of see that as the direction we go into Wrestle Kingdom.
So do you think that we're looking at a possible Naito G1 win this year?
I do. If you're asking for my pick right now, yeah. And again, a lot has to come out of Dominion. A lot has to come out of these shows. A lot has to come out of G1. But looking at it from a 50,000-foot view, see Omega winning here in Dominion. I see I don't know what I see for Long Beach. Truth be told, I don't know what you say. Maybe Tanahashi. I would think Tanahashi. It's Tanahashi Naito too in Dominion, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're seeing two Wrestle Kingdom 11 rematches.
Wow, how fucking great is this show going to be? Not to mention Takahashi on the show defending against the winner of the Best of the Super Junior, right?
You know, when you say Takahashi, I still think Yujiro. Like that, like his face popped up in my mind as soon as you said that. But yes, yeah. We're going to see Hiromu Takahashi, yeah. The good Takahashi, defend against.
Talking time.
Right. He's going to be defending against the winner of Best of the Super Juniors, which I think it's probably going to be Kushida at this point. I think it has to be.
I mean, he's. Every time he's in the ring with Takahashi, he's taking a fall.
Yeah, look at this Dontaku show. He took a fall here,
right? Which surprised the shit out of me. To be truthful, that really surprised the hell out of me. It's like not only are they beating us over the head with how dominant Takahashi is, they're beating us over the head with, man, Kushida is in a rut, you know, especially against Takahashi. You know, he just can't get LIJ's number.
Yeah, well, he's going to have to go on a journey here.
Do you think he has to go underneath a waterfall?
I think he needs to go to the desert and take some peyote.
Oh,
and
wow.
He really needs to get in touch with who Kushida is.
Okay. Well, he can meet up with you and who else?
Me and Matt Seidel.
Matt Seidel will be there. Who else will
That's
be
right.
there? David Finley, I think, is on this voyage. This sounds like a fucking road trip. It sounds really good. You guys can rent a camper van. Sounds like a good time to me.
It will be. You should join.
Listen, that doesn't sound like a bad time. You know, we'll find ourselves and do peyote. All right. Dominion's going to be good, dude.
Yeah, Dominion is going to be a stacked card for sure. But we've got Dontaku to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, that was I don't like these middle of the week shows, Colin. Here's why. Cuz we do the show on a Sunday.
Right.
Now, if we did a post show right out of the gate, like on a Wednesday night, which we would never fucking do, but
what let's time say would that we, be at?
Well, the show gets over about what, 8 o'clock in the morning our time, right?
Right, right. I thought you meant like right after the show finished.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We would hop on.
Well, I mean, we could, but I don't think that's going to happen. It'd be like 8 o'clock in the morning our time. I just hate them. I hate the middle of the week shows because a lot of the stuff, I wouldn't necessarily say it gets stale, but it's like, it feels like everybody's had their 2 cents and we're kind of the last people to give our authoritative stance of, Dontaku brought to
And we
the
say that loosely.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, there's a lot of shows out there and some are better than others. And again, not just ones that focus on New Japan, just in wrestling in general. I will say this. I do try to listen to as many as I can. And I think some are good and some are, I gotta give ourselves a pat on the back a little bit, right? I think we do a good job here.
Yeah,
I think our listeners are Man, I see, look at those numbers, Colin. Jesus Christ.
I know. It still surprises me when I go in and I look at the stats.
Really, doesn't it? Doesn't it, oh my God, these people can't be listening to this. All these people? Yeah, never mind. It does boggle my mind. All right, so Don Taco, wrestling-wise, what did you think of the show? I thought it was a good show.
Yeah, I thought it was a good show. I see this show more as a launching pad towards Osaka. You know what I mean? It's like a build towards Osaka. On its own, I thought it was fine. We saw at least one potential match of the year candidate, I think, in Omega versus Ishii. I thought that that match was on a different level than their New Japan Cup match, in my opinion.
Me too, Colin. I thought this match was head and shoulders above their New Japan Cup. Like, when I talked about leaving stuff on the table, that's what I was talking about, right? Like, I think Dontaku, a solid half star at least, better than what we saw at the Cup. Dude, I love this match. I thought Omega and Ishii was up there in the top five matches of the year.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to the English commentary with Kevin Kelly and Don Callis.
Did we get mentioned?
No, we did not. Right. as usual. But Don Callis was saying how this was, besides Omega versus Okada from the Dome, of course, this was probably the best match of the year. And I wouldn't have a problem. I don't have a problem with that statement.
Better than Okada Shibata.
Better than Okada Shibata. For me personally, I like this Omega Ishii
wow.
match better.
Really?
Yeah, it's more. This match was more my style. It was more more fast paced, action packed.
I think Okada Shibata was pretty action packed.
It was. It was. But I don't know. Omega, you know, Omega coming out without the T-shirt and the black tights. There's just something about it. There's just something about the pace of the match when he kicks it into full gear.
They went full out.
Oh,
there wasn't. There wasn't a point where I was kind of looking for the phone. They absolutely went full out. The closing stretch was just wild. Ishii was throwing some headbutts. Again, they're a little bit more of the safer headbutts, but he did connect with one.
Yeah, one of them he connected with that made me a little bit uncomfortable. But for the most part, Ishii does a great job at worked headbutts.
Yeah, they're like chest and chin. Right, as
yes.
opposed to forehead clunking. Loved it. Colin, I don't think there's anybody better on the planet, minus Okada. I don't think there's anybody better than Kenny Omega when he wears the proper gear, right? When he's taking shit seriously. The problem is, Colin. and we work ourselves up over this every fucking year with this guy, is that you got to deal with the bullshit until the fucking big matches.
Right. But like we're not going to see this Kenny Omega that we saw at Don Taco.
Until G1.
Until Osaka.
Oh, okay, yeah. My bad. Yes. Well, that's fine. That's not that long. I mean, it's a couple weeks.
June 11th.
Yeah, not that bad. We can hang on till that. But yeah, that's the biggest... That's the biggest thing. And again, you can't expect Kenny Omega to give this kind of performance on a shitty Road 2 show in the middle of nowhere in a multi-man tag. But fuck, if we could have this every time, what a joy that would be. I guess you know what it is, though. It's kind of like, you know, you have... I hate to bring it back to the food analogy, Colin, but
all roads lead back to food.
All right. You know, you can't fucking have ice cream every day. After a while, you get a little sick of it. He is a pleasure to watch when he is on. Man,
he truly is.
This could easily turn into a giant gushing stroke fest for Kenny Omega, but
whoa. It's a family show.
Right. But man, when it's time to turn it on, And in a spotlight match, I mean, there's a handful of guys that are just in that upper echelon level, right? Okada. You could put AJ in there. I don't think anybody would be shocked at that. In a big spot, he deserves to fucking be there. You know, there are other, you know, indie, and I put that in the air quotes, all, you know, indie Japanese promotions that have big match performers. Sakamoto. I was watching some of the All Japan Champions Carnival.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good. I would highly recommend, Colin, to our listeners and also to you, if you do get a moment. I watched the opening from Corkin from All Japan, and it was a really good show, man. It was top to bottom. It was a really good show. Check out that.
Anyone listening, you can probably watch this on the Real Hero Archive, correct?
Yes. Yep. They have it in there. It is there. That's how I got my eyeballs on it. It's a really good show. It's a quick. Nothing drags. The matches aren't going to drag. Really good stuff. Not to give away spoilers or nothing, but you know, the finals are over. But this is first night. I think this was April 16th. So check that out, kids, if you're into other stuff. But man, he's just a big match performer, and he was on this night, and he shined. He shined. And you know what? Listen, we're sitting here stroking it over Kenny Omega. Ishii deserves some credit on this too. What a fucking job he did as well.
Ishii, I mean, to me, is one of the best workers in the world.
It's hard to sit through a match, a singles match, and be bored with an Ishii, right? You're going to enjoy it. It's going to be a fun ride. Oh, it's just about any time and with anybody who he's been in the ring with. I mean, he's had matches with, going back over just, you know, 3 years, 4 years, how many duds, not even duds, how many average singles matches has he had? He had one against Roddy Strong that was a little disappointing. Remember that from Corkin?
Yeah, the one from Honor Rising last year against Roderick Strong was – I expected so much more from that match, but that's not to say it was a bad match because it certainly wasn't.
Right, but on the Ishii scale, it was probably on the lower side of the curve, right?
And to be fair, the Ishii scale is that's quite the scale.
It is. I mean, if you're grading people in that vein, though, you know, the expectations that they set. And again, that kind of harkens back to Kenny Omega. That's the problem. The problem is not him. The problem is us.
You think so?
I think so, Colin.
We expect too much all the time?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so, man. I mean, look.
I don't think so, but you finish your thought.
Okay, but here's what we like to do, Colin. We do a show about a Japanese wrestling promotion, right?
New Japan.
New Japan is the one we do. And it's kind of like, I don't know if this is the same way in other countries or in other cultures, but we love to fucking analyze shit, right? We love to break things down. And I think this really is a result of the fact that, you know, when fantasy sports came around, right? And you know what? I don't even know if that's it, because people do it with movies. Like, if you go on like movie forums and shit,
go on any subreddit for Game of Thrones, Better Call Saul, whatever.
Right. Right. There's always that dissection that goes on and the second guessing and the, oh, I wish it would have went in this direction, or they could have gone in that direction. And you see that with every type of media, it feels like. But I feel like it's stronger in the United States, especially with sports, with the whole advent of fantasy sports. You know, if you fucking have a halfway decent fantasy baseball team, you think you can be the GM of the goddamn Mets, you know? And I think we do that, right? And I think that we might be guilty of that, Colin. We have expectations because we see what it can be and how great it is. And again, we're gluttons. We want more. We just want to shove our fat fucking faces full of five-star matches.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Well, all right. you're in shape five star matches. All right. You're skinny fat guy. What did he call
there, there you go.
Right.
That's more accurate.
All right. Well, whatever the case may be, we're at the table and we're gorging. We just want more. But here's the problem, too, is that New Japan does a real good job of delivering it to us consistently. Right. The bar is set so high. And again, I point the finger at New Japan in both a good way and a bad way. Is that the bar is set so fucking high? Is in that a decent match, a good solid match, is getting hand waved and eye rolled, and that's bad. Because how do you, where do we go from here, Colin? Now I know people have said this in 1993 when Misawa was dropping people on their heads and Hansen was clotheslining people left and right, and you know, Kenta Kobashi was chopping, you know,
broccoli.
You know what I mean, though, right? Pro wrestling evolves and it grows.
Maybe like Mars wrestling, New Japan Mars wrestling.
The Mars territory opens up.
Yeah,
but you know my point. It's like it's hard for me to kind of consider. Okay, where in the fuck do we go from here? How do we, and how does that 5-star equivalent now? Like in 20 years, you know, hopefully I'm alive, but in 20 years. When I'm watching this shit, what is that going to look like? Like, what is it going to be a 5-star match 20 years from now?
I assume we'll still be doing this podcast 20 years from now.
Really? My yeah. wife's thrilled with that idea. another fucking Sunday ruin.
Oh, come on.
Look, it's a challenge, and I think Kenny Omega is front and center in that. You look for black tights, no t-shirt, Kenny Omega all the time. You really want that, and I think that that's one physically almost impossible. You know, he's working smart, right? He's saving himself for these big payoffs and these big paydays and these big matches.
Right. If he were to give this type of performance every single night, night in and night out, he wouldn't have much of a future left.
No.
Now, here's my thing. I completely agree with everything that you just said. The only thing that turns me off is when he turns on the silliness a bit too much, where it gets to a point where it turns the art and the craft into a bit of a mockery. Yeah. You know, the kind of pro wrestling where it kind of screams phoniness. If you know what I mean, that I don't like. I think that there is a fine line that you can tread on, where you don't have to kill yourself, but at the same time, you know, go into these road to shows, these Korakuen shows with you know an air of seriousness in your
right.
matches.
But he loved. I mean, I think I will say this too, and I agree. That there is a level of that. Colin, look, you go to any one of these indie shows, and if Kenny Omega's on the show, there's a very good possibility you're going to see a decent spoonful of goofiness, right?
Sure.
Things, I mean, just silliness, right? But they eat it up. The fans eat it up. I mean, it's obvious. If Kenny Omega's on a show, the show's selling out.
And I do enjoy, you know, I enjoy it too, to a certain extent, when he's walking to the ring and he's talking into the camera, you know, and he's talking about.
He spent a whole match it wasn't Rev Pro. It was, just recently did the 6-man in.
It was in Ireland, wasn't it?
It might have been. It escapes me right now.
He did do a 6-man in Rev Pro.
Okay, but this is whatever match it was where they're basically he's got the microphone in his hand the entire match. Right?
Okay, yeah, this wasn't the Rev Pro match.
Okay, yeah, and he's calling spots and he's doing that, you know, he's like
right,
you know, fucking Lance Russell doing super kicks at that point.
Yeah, see, that I don't agree with.
Okay, so you're not into that
because wrestling is viewed in this day and age as laughable anyway. You know,
but that's a lot of people's points though, Colin. A lot of people will argue that, well, it's
right, the cat's out of the bag, so...
Right, why not? We go all in. Let's go. I mean, listen, not to change gears on a New Japan podcast. That fucking House of Horrors match, Colin. Did you see that horse shit?
I certainly did. I was watching it live.
That was the biggest hunk of shit I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, embarrassingly bad. Like, just on multiple levels.
Oh, absolutely.
I was watching it with my fucking fingers over my eyes. Like, I can't believe this nonsense. Like, and I didn't even see it, but at least from what I hear, you know, the Hardys and the Final Deletion and all that stuff, right? At least that was a little bit more tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, absolutely. The Final Deletion was... You can't compare this House of Horrors to the Final Deletion.
But the House of Horrors...
Final Deletion was art.
But see, like, I don't want that in pro wrestling. Like, to me, that's just fucking... But here's the thing. And it's not like I was a fan of it, mind you. And it's not like I sat here and was like, this is great. But like in 1991, I want to say, 90, maybe 89. No, it wasn't 89. Couldn't have been 89 because 89 was a real good year for WCW. I mean, when they had Sting and, you know, and the whole boat blowing up and that whole bullshit. You know, do you remember that with Vader and Davey
yes.
Boy Smith? Like, that was just horrific at the time. Like, everybody was just like, what the fuck is this? Nonsense. But again, people will roll back and be like, well, it's pro wrestling. Let's just go to 11. You know, if we're going to be goofy, be fucking goofy. My point being, Colin, is that people dig it. And no matter what, I don't care if you get Kenny Omega here at Dontaku. I don't care if you get Kenny Omega at the Tokyo Dome. I don't care if you get Kenny Omega on a random six-man in the middle of Japan. I don't care if you get him on a Rev Pro. I don't care if you get him at 2300 Arena in Philly. I don't care if you get him wherever. He's doing I think it's tonight is the first War of the Worlds show in Dearborn or Toronto. I think it's Toronto, right? Because he's doing the six man with the Bucks and against Hiroshi Tanahashi, and I think it's the Addiction, right?
Yes.
Okay. Even there's going to be silliness there, Colin. You know it. I know it. But the fans eat it up, and he's going to continue to do that until they don't eat it up. And that's something that we have to learn to swallow.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not that steamed about it. But it's just, I do feel like...
It is. Did you feel? Let me ask you this: do you feel like it insults you as a fan?
No, I don't think it insults me as a fan. It's more of okay, I'm watching this, right? I'm in my living room watching this,
and your pants down.
And so, right, of course, my pants are always down.
My bad.
So, somebody comes walking through the room, you know, and they sit down for a second, and they're watching this with me, and you know. There's some goofy, hokey bullshit going on that's obviously obviously theater, obviously, you know, a comedy. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like, you know, it gives that person the impression like, oh, this is what you watch. Like, this is pro wrestling. And I have to explain, well, no, this isn't, he doesn't always do this. It isn't always like this. This is just, you know, and you have to go into a whole big spiel about.
Justifying why you're
right,
watching this nonsense.
Right. I don't want to have to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't want to have to explain myself and defend what's going on the screen in front of me. That gets very, very tiresome. And I think that most people, I don't know if this statement is true, but most people, and including casuals, enjoy pro wrestling best when it is presented like a sport.
I would always tend to agree with that, Colin, but you know what has opened my eyes? This show. Right. And
the PyroCast.
Yes. As well as other avenues, you know, the classic board on Facebook, Reddit. Colin, guess
Pornhub.
What?
Pornhub.
I'm not a Pornhub kind of guy, Colin. I'm more of a Red Tube kind of guy. Look, I'm shocked at some of the comments that I say, because getting back to a point that I made, you know, earlier, and a comment that I made earlier, people enjoyed that House of Horrors. There were people that enjoyed it.
There were people that
it boggles my fucking mind, Colin. it absolutely blows my mind. Listen, we get comments every week. Oh, you know, you're too hard on fucking G.O.D. Oh, you're too hard on Cody Rhodes. Oh, Dalton Castle. What do you mean you don't like Dalton Castle? I mean, it's like we get it all the time. Why? Because at the end of the day, Colin, some people like chocolate ice cream and some people like vanilla ice cream and some people like fucking Rocky Road. And some people, as disgusting as it sounds, like rum raisin, right?
Rum raisin. Ugh.
Exactly. Well, guess what? Guess who the fuck rum raisin is? House of Horrors. But yet, if I go to an ice cream shop, they are serving rum raisin, right? So for me, it is a...
You're trying to say that there's a market for everything.
There is a market for everything. And obviously there is, because look at Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega is the spitting image of that. Kenny Omega can't walk into any fucking wrestling arena without it selling out. I don't care what indie show he's on. He is a ticket mover and a ticket seller. You know, you read those Ring of Honor threads, and every time they announced a new show, they were announcing new matches during the entire week for all the different locations. And at every stop and at every turn, it was, well, where's Kenny Omega? Kenny Omega. Is Kenny Omega going to be there? Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega. That's all it was. That's all it is. He's the hottest guy. People dig the shtick. People dig the entirety of what he delivers. And I think because we like the sport of it, and we put that in air quotes, it's frustrating when we don't get it. Now, I don't think it works the other way. I don't think the people of the comedy and the goofiness and the silliness, when they watch Kenny Omega like in the match at Dontaku, you know, it's not like they're changing the channel. I would hope not. I really wouldn't understand it. But, you know, for us, you know, we're quick to fucking judge. We're quick to wag the finger, and we're quick with the expectations. And I think that we watch what I say here. But I think we have a lot to learn from people like that. The people that can just sit back and take it in and be like, okay, this is goofy Kenny Omega. He does it pretty well, right? Like,
oh, if I'm gonna watch, he does it better than anyone.
Right, exactly. So, okay, that's just an element and a side and a piece of the puzzle that is Kenny Omega. Now, to me, I would rather see an Okada, who I feel is, you know, more in line with what we look for, right? But when Kenny Omega is on, he's fucking tremendous. Now, dare I say, is Kenny Omega a better example of what a pro wrestler should be here in 2017, or is Okada that? Because if you look at how well-rounded Omega is, in the fact that, and you said it, there's nobody better that does the goofiness, right?
Well,
and the comedy.
The thing with Omega is that he can literally do it all. I don't think that there's any style. There's nothing that this guy can't do.
Right. I believe that as well. I think he's, you know, and it's funny because I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he gets bored very easily, and I don't know him, but to me he seems like a guy that he gets bored very easily, and if he needs to have that creative outlet of, you know, silliness. Now, and again, when I say silliness, he incorporates the silliness in a wrestling match, right? Some of the crazy, goofy, harebrained spots that occur, right? They're entertaining and they're fun and they're you know, they will make you laugh. So I don't know. I pose that question. You know, it's in this day and age, do people look more for a Kenny Omega in the fact that, okay, when it's time to be goofy, he can be goofy. When it's time to be serious, he can be serious. Or we're looking at more of a Okada or a Tanahashi who can dabble in the goofiness. It's not like, you know, there's, you know, hasn't been a six-man tag where, you know, there hasn't been goofiness. But by and large, they're more straight-laced, they're more straight and serious. Is that what 2017 is? I think you're leaning more toward Omega.
I think that 2017, you know, as you're saying all this, I think it's more of a smorgasbord, if you will, a potpourri, an amalgamation of all these different styles that you can, you know, dip into each one depending on your mood.
Yeah, and that's Omega to me.
It's the epitome of that.
Yeah, but again, that's New Japan too, right? That's New Japan as a whole. When you look up and down that roster and you have all the talent that you have on that show. I mean, listen, people hand wave Yano all the time, but he's there for a purpose, right?
To screw people in the G1.
Well, yeah, but yeah, and his matches can seem repetitive in the sense that, the turnbuckle gets undone, the ball shots, the hair pull, the whole nine yards. But that's why he's there. Fale is there to be the big guy, the monster.
We're going to talk about Fale.
But you know, there's a role for everyone. All right, we went off on a rant, and I know that's not what you wanted to do today. So let's refocus, let's recalibrate, and then we're getting into Don Taco, aren't we?
We are, but you were saying earlier how there's a market for everything, and I think that it's safe to say that there is a market for great Japanese merchandise delivered straight to your door directly from Japan. I'm talking pictures, postcards, trading cards, action figures, T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, everything. And guess what? You can get all that from our good friends at GaijinCollectibles.com. They can even order stuff directly from the New Japan shop for you.
Yeah, that's a good service right there, Gaijin Collectibles. They're good people. Easy, quick. I got my hoodie in no time flat. Fair pricing, great quality. It's the stuff direct from the promotions in Japan, straight to your door. What could be simpler than that? It's the stuff that you want. It's the stuff that you're looking for. You're not going to get a cheap knockoff. You're not going to get a kind of authoritative. You're getting a real deal. So GaijinCollectibles.com. You know, Colin, did you know that Gaijin Collectibles not only is sponsoring this fine podcast, but they're also helping us with the meetup that we have in Long Beach coming up?
Yes, I did hear something along those lines.
Yes, they'll be having some 25 people. We'll be getting some giveaway, a nice little goodie bag sponsored by Gaijin Collectibles. So again, they're good people. They're good sponsors of us. You help the show here. You help them. Listen, if you're looking for Puro merch, there's really only one place to go, and that's Gaijin Collectibles.
And maybe if you're lucky, they'll even throw in some of those green Kit Kats.
Oh, I still have a couple left, Colin. They're saving them for a nice special
occasion. For a rainy day.
They are wonderful. Those green Kit Kats. The green tea Kit Kats. So they have a multitude of different kinds of the Kit Kats. But I got to be honest with you, the creme brulee ones are really good, too. Oh, creme brulee ones are really good. But yes, the green tea are good. Gaijin Collectibles, kids, they're the best.
That's right. Follow them on Twitter. Like them on Facebook. And if you order something from them, tell them that the PuroCast boys sent you.
Please. That helps us. Thanks, guys.
All right, very good. So, Damon, what do you say we move on to Don Taku, which took place this past Wednesday. What a shitty night for a show. this past Wednesday, May 3rd, in Fukuoka, with a crowd of 6,126. Let's kick it off from the bottom, work our way up here. Pre-show match, Yoshitatsu and Kawato taking on Oka and Kitamura. Look, I hate to keep on harping on Yoshitatsu, but man, this guy comes out. He's got the frizzy hair going on. He's still rocking the DX green trunks and boots.
Yeah,
boy, what is he doing? What's going on here?
Well, he seems to me like a depressed wanderer at this point in his career. Yeah.
He's Shibata was goofing on him, I hear.
Yeah, me too. I was going to bring that up, actually. Shibata, who's in a bad way, Let's be true. What's the update there? Did you have that in front of you, Colin, on Shibata?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they do. So he's still hospitalized, but he's been in touch with a lot of the wrestlers via text. And they say that he's in good spirits and he's making a lot of jokes, including how just absolutely ridiculous Yoshitatsu is looking. But he's in stable condition. Only family members are allowed to see him thus far.
Hearing, and, he had partial hearing loss, right?
I'm not sure what the status of that is, but all I know is he's still hospitalized, but he's in good spirits, and hey, you know, thoughts and prayers to Shibata.
Yeah, look, he was in a bad way. I mean, he at one point he was blind. Did I read that right?
It's hard to sort through like how much of this is accurate as well.
It is tough, but look, I am. I'm hoping for the best for the guy. This has turned into a real terrible situation. And again, hopefully it's better as we get news from sources like Big Dave and others. But it's, man, it's just a mess. But anyway, speaking of messes,
this big neon green frizzy hair mess.
We were all kind of hoping, I think, in the back of our minds that he would be the one to take the fall, right? That maybe one of these young lions could squeak out a victory. I was hoping for that as well. Unfortunately, that was not the case, Colin.
No, Yoshitatsu got the victory. And
yeah,
I was thinking to myself, even if one of the young lions did get a victory, it's like, okay, they beat Yoshitatsu. All right.
Man, he has fallen. He just needs something. And again, I can't confirm this because I kind of heard this third hand, right? But for whatever reason, was it a drug? And you know what? Maybe I should just kind of like I heard it. Like he didn't want to piss in a bucket. This is exactly what I heard. So when he was in CMLL, right?
Okay.
The reason why it was cut short was because he didn't want to piss in a bucket. But I don't know what that meant.
I don't want to piss in a bucket either, personally.
I mean, either, right? I prefer not to, right? Piss boy. Remember that? History of the world? No, I'll get it later. I don't know what that meant. Like, does that mean it was like he didn't want to, like, take a drug test? That's how, like, that's how I read it. That's how I perceived it, kids. So don't fucking go running around saying, Damon said he was on drugs. I didn't say that. Right?
We're going to see the headlines tomorrow.
Right. I am sure.
All the dirt sheets are going to pick this one up.
Yeah, Damon McDonald said he's a heroin addict.
Yoshitatsu cooks meth.
Right. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that, but that's what I read. I read he didn't want to piss in a bucket.
Me neither.
Right. I don't think that's a reason for anybody to lose their job.
No.
So I need some context on that. Maybe I should follow up next week and give you the follow up. But if anybody has any further information, they can share that with our listeners. Because I read that. I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
Interesting. Well,
but I mean, even I'm surprised, Colin, to see him in a New Japan ring. Pissing in a bucket or not. Right?
Hey, maybe that's the new gimmick he should have.
He's the piss boy?
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, I think that's better than the Bullet Club Hunter. It's more interesting.
Me too. He has this bucket. He's like the Harlem Globetrotters. You know how they always like throw the water into the crowd?
Yeah.
But it's, in this case, it's piss, right?
Yeah, it's urine.
Yeah, it's urine. Salty urine. Yep. Yeah, that'd be a great gimmick, huh? That'd go over great with the kids.
Hey, Stranger Things.
match was a match, right?
It was a match. Yoshitatsu picks up the win over Kitamura, and that's that.
All right.
Okay, first official match in the card. Yoshihashi and Ospreay taking on Yujiro Takahashi and Chase Owens.
Chase kind of getting his groove on once again with Bullet Club. That's, you know, we like to pick on Chase a little bit here on the show, Colin, but that's a good spot for him, right?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, it's funny. I was kind of looking up Chase Owens yesterday because I'm watching him and I'm like, I wonder how old this guy is. How long has this dude been around? Because I don't really know that much about him. And by God, the guy is younger than me, I think.
Really? How old?
I think he is 20.
Like early 20s?
27 years old, but maybe just a few months younger than I.
Okay. All right. I mean, seriously, I mean,
he's the same age as me is what I'm trying to get at, which kind of blew my mind.
Why? Made you even more depressed in your life?
A little bit.
All right, listen. Yeah, hang in there, Colin. Big things are right around the corner for you.
Oh, yeah.
But with Chase, it's kind of like, you know, he does his, mid-America indies and his, shows there. And every once in a while, I guess, to go to Japan and wrestle for one of the hotter factions in all of pro wrestling. And, listen, he doesn't have a significant role with New Japan, mind you. He's a fall guy for the most part. But, listen, I was thinking about that the other day. That's who are we to wag a finger and say who's good and bad? He's in a good spot. Good for him.
He's got a good little gig going for himself in life, I think.
Yeah. Well, truth be told, if in the beginning of the year, if you told me, okay, is Chase Owens going to be hanging around the 2017 run here in New Japan, I probably would say no.
Probably not.
I mean, there's plenty of talent on that roster, and if anybody's going to go, but unless he has a role. He has a role within the Bullet Club. Were you surprised at who picked up the pinfall here, Colin?
Yeah, I was. I thought they were going to continue the Ospreay streak, kind of building him towards Best of the Super Juniors, but no, they decided to go with Yoshihashi.
Yeah, I mean,
I know why, Damon. It's to build towards that Long Beach main event. That's why.
All right, big run for Yoshihashi.
I'm telling you.
He's a ticket mover.
I can't wait.
I'm a little worried about these Long Beach shows now, Colin. I mean, they're not going to fuck. They can't. I mean, listen, they.
Did you say they're not going to fuck?
No, they're not going to fuck with it. Like they have a good, they have a good opportunity here. I don't want to see them blow it. I'm trying to help them.
They won't. They will be quality shows, I'm sure. But
right.
Yeah, Yoshihashi picking up the win over Chase Owens. I don't quite know what that means in Yoshihashi land.
Yeah, I mean, again, maybe it's just something to keep the fires a little lukewarm.
Keep the loose explosions coming.
Keep the loose explosions coming. Ospreay was a guy who was picking up tons of wins. There is some conflicting reports, Colin, on the contract status. I know we talked about Will Ospreay the other week, and
he signed a 2-year contract.
But I see. Here's the thing, though. This is me and my Alzheimer's kicking in, but I almost am certain that I talked to him when he was in Philly, and point blank, it wasn't me, it was Maggie who asked him, and I thought it was a 1-year. I could have sworn it. So that's why I kind of was like, yeah, the contract's up, and then I heard other people say the contracts are up, and then we were corrected on Reddit, and somebody had mentioned that it was a 2-year.
Yes.
And then I went, and I actually Googled it to see if there was anything around, and I just only see when he signed, like he signed a deal, but nobody mentioned it was a 2-year or a 1-year. I could have sworn it was him that said it, and I think I even mentioned it on this show. Unless there was an extension that I forgot about, who the fuck knows? But he's going into Best of the Super Juniors with a little flame under his butt, warming him up, and I think he'll do pretty well in this tournament.
Yeah, I agree. So. There you go. Yoshihashi picked up the win over Chase Owens. And we move on to, oh boy, Damon, how about this tag? We've got the team of Makabe, Tiger Mask W, and Tiger Mask taking on Nagata, Nakanishi, and Liger.
Yeah, but I will say this. We were right, right? Didn't I call? I called the knee drop last week in our finish. And I think that you even said, fuck it, make it Nakanishi. Right? I remember.
I forgot about that. You're right.
And you're like, who the fuck cares? Just make it Nakanishi. Well, they listened. They took both of our advice, and away off to the races we went.
People from the company do listen to this show, Damon.
Listen, I don't know. Well, look. So we had Tiger Mask W come. And we do harp on Tiger Mask W as well, because we'd like to see a little bit more of the Ibushi. And again, we understand that there are contracts involved and all that stuff. And why would you give a guy a we don't even want to come. and I don't want to speak for you, Colin. You can speak for yourself. But at least for me, it's not even that I need a big push. Like, I don't even need – I just want him to take off the mask and be him.
Yeah, I just want to see Kota Ibushi wrestle, really.
Yeah, I'm going to see his – like – And people could say, well, you're pretty much getting it. I don't know. I don't think I do. I don't think I do when I get the mask. I think he is playing Tiger Mask, and I don't want to see that. I want to see Kota Ibushi.
Somebody had a delightfully wacky idea on the New Japan subreddit.
What was that?
I don't know if you saw this, but their idea was to have, for the G1, in one block, we'd have Tiger Mask W, and in the other block, we'd have Kota Ibushi.
What'd you think of that?
Well, my first thought was like, okay, what happens when Tiger Mask W and Ibushi win both of their blocks?
Okay, right. Look, I think that's a little that's one of those.
It's just a fun, silly thought, really.
Yeah. I don't know. Listen, I'm on the fence if we even see a W in G1. I don't think we do.
And that's the thing. I think the G1 certainly needs some more star power because we're not going to be seeing Shibata. We're not going to be seeing Honma. So I feel like there has to be somebody to kind of fill that slot. And Kota Ibushi, to me, sounds like the perfect person. But again, I'm kind of with you. I get the impression that we're not going to be seeing that. But again, who knows?
Right. And keep in mind with these G1s, you know, a couple of people that we keep forgetting are the Noah guys. Right, your Marufuji's,
yeah,
you know, so it, you know, there's going to be some spots. I don't know. I just don't see a W fitting in there. I mean, I would love to see it, but I don't know. I mean, who knows? He might be, he might have to fucking work the institute. Who knows? Who knows what that clown's doing?
If that's even still open. I mean, I tried to send my application.
Right, I have a correspondence course. better be still open. All right. So Makabe with the knee drop match wasn't bad. I don't think it was bad. It was. I'm looking at my notes. I don't have anything too thumbs downy. No. I thought it was a decent strong match.
It was a match. Again, Makabe winning with the King Kong knee drop, a Nakanishi, and away we go.
Right. Away. Overall, it meant nothing. Right.
Right.
It really wasn't a you know, it's, we talked about how this show was a story building show to a large degree with a great match sprinkled in there and a main event that I think delivered. But yeah, I mean, this match was there to kill time, it felt like.
Alrighty, next match we have Goto Yano, Jado, and Roppongi Vice taking on Suzuki, Kanemaru, Taichi, El Desperado, and Taka Michinoku. Again, continuing the Goto-Suzuki feud for the NEVER title, which I assume that we're going to be seeing a rematch at Dominion.
Yeah, or at the very least, another one of those shows leading up to Dominion that they might headline. But yeah, I would bank on seeing a title defense at Dominion. What are your feelings right now, Colin, overall on Suzuki-gun?
I enjoy Suzuki.
Yeah.
I enjoy Suzuki. I miss Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Yeah.
Those are my feelings, and I'm going to talk about that in a bit when we discuss the best of the Super Juniors lineup, because boy, was I disappointed to see not one, not two, not three, but four Suzuki-gun members in that tournament. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about the best of the Super Juniors because I think the lineup is really stacked. I'm so excited for it. But, yeah, I mean, I would be happy to not see Suzuki. And imagine, the almost 2 years, was it, of them, those clowns literally running roughshod over everyone in Noah. So you're a fan of Noah, you're watching Noah, and every one of your big Noah guys are just getting, you know, wiped clean by those jokers. Like we're supposed to take those jokers as, you know, superstars. And it's right. Just like, oh, no wonder they struggled. And no wonder they continue to struggle, even post. And it, you know, I say that, but, you know, it seems like the crowds are a little bit worse for wear, even without Suzuki. So what do I know? But I'll tell you what, I would be thrilled if I never saw Suzuki-gun again. And if that meant I had to say goodbye to Minoru Suzuki, what am I going to do? I can't stomach watching them anymore. They're just like they're instant fast forward to me at this point.
So, nevertheless, this match was a match. Goto picks up the win with the GTR and Taka Michinoku, again, building towards the rematch against Suzuki. Damon, you echoed the sentiments in my mind. I'm over it. And truth be told, I was over it by February.
I was over the minute there was a three count against Okada, to be quite truthful. I was like, I'm okay. Okay. It's just, you know, it is what it is. I think the idea of Suzuki-gun is better than the actual execution of Suzuki-gun.
Yes, yes. You said it perfectly.
And even with the fact that you're not going to get any more what was it, the claw of death? What do they call it, Colin? The five fingers of
the five fingers of doom,
whatever. It's the iron claw of doom. Even though you're not going to see that for a while, and Suzuki-gun has been hit by the injury bug pretty hard, but yep, I'd be okay with having them take a back seat. But we know that's not going to happen. All right, so far, Colin, what do we got? We got a pretty much a C minus show, a C plus show. Where are we at?
Yeah, we're in the C minus range, I think. You know, yeah. five on a 10 scale.
Yeah, I think we're in that boat. Maybe 4 out of 5, maybe 4 out of 10. But
4 out of 10, as Bret Hart would say.
Yeah, I'm there. Okay. All right. So what's next?
Next, we have got David Finlay taking on everyone's favorite Cody.
Mm-hmm. Colin, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
What'd you think of this match?
I thought it was
fine.
it was okay.
I'm going to be truthful. And here's the thing. It's amazing to me how it was like crickets. Yeah. Where are all the Cody fans, guys? Where are they go after this match? I didn't think this match was good at all. He's just not a fit. And then he gets on the mic and he does his over exaggerated Americanized. I don't see it. If somebody tells me one more fucking time, oh, he's a solid hand. Solid hand. Stop it. He's not in a solid hand role. Enough. Oh, it drives me crazy. It drives me crazy that I have to listen to that and then I have to see that. Come on. All right. So that's my Cody rant of the week. Actually, that's been building up a little bit, Colin, because we've been very kind to Cody in the past weeks, and we've definitely laid off. But seriously, I mean, a lot of that was silliness, obviously.
Well, my only problem with I don't have a problem with Cody. My problem is when people talk about him like he's fucking Okada.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's the vibe that I get. People talk about Cody like he is this, oh my God, he's this hot indie star that has 5-star matches. Like, no, Cody's fine. There's nothing wrong with him, but don't put him in like the upper echelons of must-see indie workers, because that's just not the case.
Right. That's what I thank you. I think you said it eloquently. Again, I'm goofing around, mind you, for a large bit of that column. But keep in mind that I feel exactly the same way as you. I don't get it. I don't see it. And you know what I hear back, Colin? This is what I hear.
What's that?
He's a good guy. Okay.
I'm sure he's a great guy.
Right. I'm sure he's an awesome guy. I really do. I think he probably is a really cool guy. Right? Know what else I hear, Colin?
What's that?
Oh, he loves the business.
I'm sure he does.
Right? Okay.
He grew up in it.
Yeah. I mean, I listen to him. He's doing it for a living. I would hate to have him go to work every day and dread it.
You know what you hear from me?
What's that?
Boy, he's got a hot wife. That's my thought.
And he has that too. I mean, his wife is very attractive. Very, very easy on the eye.
Certainly is.
Absolutely. Well done on both cases.
Yeah. So
unless I hear, Well, you know what I see here, Colin?
Go ahead.
He's a solid hand.
Right.
Who is he made better? So he's been on this indie run, and he's got his little checklist, and he's checking boxes left and right, and he's wrestling his dream matches. And okay, how many great matches have we seen? How many good matches have we seen? Right? And even those good matches are really debatable.
I saw one decent match from the PWG Bola last year against, I think it was against Sami Callihan. And
okay.
It was a good match. Okay. Am I going to put that in, you know, was that one of the matches of the year? No, Cody didn't have a match of the year.
Okay. He had a decent match against Juice at the Dome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And trust me, I give a lot of that to Juice. He had a bull rope match with Jay Lethal that I thought was okay.
I did not see that one.
Other people liked it a little bit more than me. And again, I think, and I'll even go so far as to say, okay, a bull rope match is kind of fucking passe at this point. But okay, you know, we can work it well. It might be enjoyable. I didn't think it was that great. Where else? What am I missing? Where? What am I missing?
Here's what I see Cody as. I see Cody as a guy who has very strong fundamentals, and he's the kind of guy where if you're having trouble with a guy, you know, a younger guy who's having a little bit of trouble in the ring, having, you know, needs somebody solid to work with, you say, you know what, you're gonna go out there, we're gonna put you with Cody. You know, you're gonna have a series of matches with him. You're gonna learn from him. Do you know what I mean? Does that make any sense? He's
sure.
He's a guy with solid fundamentals who younger, inexperienced pro wrestlers can learn from. Similar to kind of how Sean Waltman was actually in the WWF. They would stick guys with the kid so they can learn from him.
And not only that, know that they could have a good match with him too. Because
yes.
even at his worst, you know, Waltman can work.
Yes.
And he was always the working guy in that, you know, NWO, you know, mix, you know, with Nash and Hall. Okay, so give me an example of where that's occurring. Like, I mean, I hate to say it, but to me, it comes across as a guy who's getting, he's checking his boxes and it's, you know, he's getting to live his dream and he's getting to wrestle all the guys that he wants to wrestle. Okay. But how is that translating into helping? Like, did his match help David Finlay in any way?
So in other words, did Finlay come out of that
as a better wrestler, as a better performer, or look better,
or looking like a star?
Right, like maybe like a Naito would have, you know, the way Naito made Juice look.
From our perspective, I'd have to say no. But again, you'd have to ask David Finlay. Did he take away anything from working with Cody? I mean, I don't know. But just from being a pro wrestling fan and watching that, I'd have to say not really. I don't think it did anything for his career.
Right. So so once again, I hate to belabor a point, but I'm pretty good at it. What's the value that Cody brings to the table?
He's like, the son of the dream.
Thank you. I thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't know what else I can say. That's what I see. I can only tell you what I see, and I can only be honest with you with what I see. What am I missing? Fuck. I don't get it. I don't understand it. He's there. He is there. Nothing great. Nothing good. I'll take that back. I'll take that back. Decent, good, but nothing warranting this showers of praise that people seem to want to defend him on. Why are we defending that? All right.
Well, there you have it, Cody Rhodes. Or excuse me, Cody.
Thank
I don't want to get any sort of legal trouble.
We might have that already.
Cody defeats David Finlay.
A good lawyer.
He defeats David Finlay with the Crossroads, and Cody said after the match that he needs better competition.
it seems to me that that little checklist of his gave him plenty of competition. How about this? Can I play the devil's advocate and say, how about you give me something that we can sink our teeth into as fans of this product before we start giving you that bigger competition, right? Can we do that? Would that be okay? Colin, I'm worried.
I know what you're worried about.
I'm really worried. When I'm seeing things and I'm hearing things, I'm worried about G1 in Long Beach. I'm worried.
I'm worried about the G1.
You think he's going to do well?
In other words, is he going to have matches that after the G1 is all said and done that we're going to look back on and be like, oh man, that Cody Rhodes match, boy, was that a real barn burner?
Are we?
No.
I don't think so either, man. I'm going to be truthful. I don't think so either. I'm worried about something silly like him headlining one of these G1 shows.
Because he's an American? Because he's the son of the Dream?
Yeah.
Because of his, I mean.
Because he's going to be Ring of Honor champion this coming Friday?
Yeah, probably. Oh, man. That's a scary thought. I'd like to think that they're not going that route, but
I hope not, man.
It's possible.
Fuck. Yeah. It's possible. All right. Enough of the Cody. Again, what are we gonna do? It's whatever. All right. All right. Move on. Makes me angry.
Juice Robinson and Kushida taking on Naito and Hiromu Takahashi.
Can I say something silly here?
Sure. I love when you say silly things.
I love the tag team of Juice and Kushida. And I know that they're both kind of busy doing other things right now, right? They're both kind of in different directions, and Kushida is trying to find his groove with the junior belt and all that stuff. I like Juice and Kushida. Is it completely wacky of me to think that wouldn't they make nice tag team champions?
You know, I would have no problem with a Juice Robinson and Kushida tag team, like possibly being in the G1 tag league.
Okay. I like that, right? Wouldn't that be fun? I feel, and it's kind of hard for this to happen when you get your ass kicked by your competition when you're a junior. Is this a beginning of a step up for Kushida? Could this possibly be something where we're just completely cleaning our hands of a junior Kushida and he makes the leap to a heavyweight?
I've been giving this a lot of thought for a long time now.
All right.
I mean,
probably
since last summer, actually. Remember last summer when we heard those murmurs about, maybe Kushida is going to be in the G1?
Yes, I do.
To me, Kushida has almost exhausted his stay in the junior heavyweight division. I mean, he's taken on everyone. Yeah. And when I start to think about, man, think about matches that Kushida could have with Naito, and oh man, Kushida versus Tanahashi, Kushida versus Okada. Those are very, very sexy matches, to say the least.
Yeah.
And Kushida is still, I consider him one of the best workers in this company. And I think that the junior heavyweight division, him staying in that is prohibiting him from having a lot of great matches that he can add to his career.
What more can he do?
Right.
Right. The next step is to be basically Liger, right? Where you're the junior part of a multi-man tag, right? He's won everything there is to win in junior division. I don't know what else there is for him the guy to do. Now, again, I bring up the point in the sense of the juniors seem to be very solid. There is a definite leader of that junior division. And Takahashi's, you know, mind you, it's only been, you know, 6 months, but still he's red hot. He's you know, head and shoulders above everybody else, in my mind, leading the junior division. Why not have Kushida step up? Again, is he going to have to get a little bit bigger? Possibly. Is he going to have to find a way to bulk up to make it, he's a smaller guy, but he's still not super small.
He needs to make 220, Damon.
I mean, look at Togi Makabe. Togi Makabe was started as a junior.
You forget about that sometimes.
Goto, wasn't the biggest guy in the world too. I mean, guys can put on weight.
Fale.
did you see that video?
Oh, we're going to talk about that. Don't worry.
All right. So it can be done. Now, I don't want him to lose his mobility. I don't want him to lose what makes Kushida Kushida. But to me, it's kind of like, okay, I feel like that would be a real nice stepping up process for Kushida. And again, Kenny Omega can do it too. Kenny Omega's a little bit different build, but okay, you get my
Kenny
point.
Omega's a bit taller than Kushida as well.
Yeah,
he can put on more weight.
Listen, if Trent Barretta could be a junior, Kushida could be a heavyweight.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's make that clear. All right. So I like that tag team a lot. When I saw that, I was like, this could be something. This could be a little something as we move on in the calendar year. All right, there you go. What was it? Juice taking the fall, right?
No, it was not Juice taking the fall.
Right.
It was Kushida.
That's right. My God, my bad. Yeah, I remember saying that in the beginning of the show. It was like, hey, again, he's the guy that takes the fall. I don't know. They're putting an exclamation point on that. But again, I just feel like that we're at the end of a run for Kushida as a junior. But again, watch him win the Best of the Super Juniors, and away we go.
there was also something else interesting that happened in this match. If you noticed, there was an interaction between Takahashi and the IC title belt. Did you notice that?
Yeah, there's been since he's won that darn thing. He's taking it into baths. He's having conversations with it. Yeah, it's almost like a little love affair he's got with the darn thing.
Yeah, very, very interesting. That's all I'm going to say. don't think that they're just doing that for nothing.
What do you mean?
That's all I'm going to say. Leave it at that.
All right. Okay. All right. Leave us dangle. All right. What we got next then, Colin?
Next, we have got a match that I enjoyed a lot more than I thought I was going to, and it's for the IWGP Tag Team titles. It was a three-way with the champs, War Machine, taking on Tenkozy and G.O.D. I really didn't think this was half bad.
No, I thought it was good. And here we go. I'm the first to admit it. We got a G.O.D. match. Again, a little three-way action, and I think War Machine stood out. And I
absolutely
think G.O.D. was right behind him, right? And I think that Tenkozy was right there in the limited amount that, even Tenzan can do. He's a hurting guy right
now.
Did
you see Tenzan throwing some of those kicks? Oh, boy.
Like, I can't walk to the ring. It is what it is. And now we have, unfortunately, stagnation up there. Because we're going to see more interactions with G.O.D. and War Machine, I'm sure. Right? But I think War Machine's been an absolute breath of fresh air. They're guys that are excited to be there. They're excited to hold the belts. I love their style. The agile big man is something to witness with these guys. And I think G.O.D. held their own in this match. I had no problem with G.O.D. in this match.
Neither did I, truth be told. Maybe the only thing that I had a problem with was Tongaloa's face paint that he came out with.
There's a lot of face. That was silly. That terrible, terrible paint job.
But other than that, though, like you said, I think that they did hold their own.
Right.
I still don't think that Tongaloa is a guy who you're going to want to stick in the G1 to have singles matches, mind you. But, combined with Tama Tonga, I thought that he did a good job. There was one spot in particular in this match that really stood out to me because, how we talk about Tama Tonga kind of being that slippery eel, and how he needs to do more of that. Did you see the spot where I forget who he was working on? I think it was one of the members of War Machine. But it looked like he was going to charge at them in the corner, but he turned around and did like a double drop kick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was like, all right, there's the slippery eel, Tama Tonga.
Yeah. Here's what I think. I don't think it's strange to think that maybe even War Machine. Do you think War Machine might be in G1?
I would mind that.
They've had tag champs in there before. They've had Gallows and Anderson in there before,
yeah,
right?
True.
They've had. It's not like that's a foreign concept. Might be a little like, I don't know. I think in our mind's eye, we think of G.O.D. more in G1 than we do War Machine. I don't know. That might be interesting.
I didn't even give it a thought until you brought it up, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, listen. I mean, I think only because, you know, you had Carl Anderson, who's had success as a singles competitor, right? So you kind of see him in it. You know, it could happen. Like you see, like you saw Carl Anderson. You know, I can't even say that. You know, you had Giant Barnard and I was going to say, you know, you see Carl Anderson as more of a singles guy, but not really. He's probably had more success as a tag. I don't know. Something to think about. Good possibility there. Maybe splitting up War Machine in a G1. A possibility. I think you'll see, it's probably closer to seeing G.O.D. in G1. But overall, the good match here. I thought that everybody did well and worked hard. Good match.
Yep. War Machine picks up the win, getting the fall on Tenzan, and then of course G.O.D. lays them out afterwards, laying out the challenge. So it looks like War Machine versus G.O.D. for Osaka.
I wouldn't be surprised, Osaka. I wouldn't be surprised if you see that same match at Long Beach. That screams Long Beach to me too.
Could be.
So we got a lot. We got a big stacked show for that Dominion, man. Whew, that Dominion show is going to be tremendous, tremendous. Whew. All right, go ahead.
Next match for the Never Trios titles. We have got the champs, Taguchi Japan, Tanahashi, uh-huh, Taguchi, and Ricochet, uh-huh, defending against Sanada, Evil, and Bushi, LIJ.
Yeah, well, the hot potato continues, right?
Can I call it or what?
Yeah, I mean, listen, at this point, to put your chips on a successful defense of the Never Six-Man titles, that's losing money right there. That's a losing bet. It is amazing how they just flip-flop those belts at this point. It's craziness.
By the way, our listeners are having a lot of fun on Twitter. Remember how we announced the contest last week?
Yeah. How are we getting with that? Are we getting some response?
We're getting a lot of responses. People are having a lot of fun with this.
Okay, what do you have it available? Do you have any of the teams?
Yeah, sure. I'll read some of them for you. We won't go through all of them.
Yeah. Give me some of the highlights.
But let's see here. At Mark Grumpy Lion.
Oh,
that's a great name. He says the next Never Six Man Champs will be El Desperado, Tai Chi, and Kanemaru, and will hate it.
Agreed. Okay. What else we got?
What do we got here? At Andrew Alfredo.
I could go for some Andrew Alfredo. I'm starving.
Next trio's belt champs, Ricochet, Finley, and Kojima.
Okay. Did we see that already?
Yeah, we did see that. Let's see. Eric Jones says, I'm going with Chaos taking the belt. So Yoshihashi, Yano, and Ishii.
I wouldn't be surprised. That's not a shocker. Okay. What else?
Oh, this next one is good. At Ingobernables 01 says the next six-man champs will be Taichi Iizuka and Yoshitatsu.
You know what? I'm all in on that.
Yeah, I think I'm all in on that one too.
Fuck it. Yeah, why not? All right, give me one more. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Okay. Let's see.
I love this.
Dead Gen, future Never champs Yano, Osprey, and Yoshihashi, and. This person also mentions that PWG does serve beer in single cups, so we got a correction.
Okay, so good. All right, good. So I won't be a complete alcoholic if I ever go there.
Right.
Okay. All right, good stuff there, kids. All right, keep them coming.
Yeah, and they're still coming in. And if you didn't listen last week, we announced a spur-of-the-moment contest where you pick the next Never six-man tag team champions. And please have fun with this, you know, be creative. And if your pick actually does become champions, you're gonna get a nice Damon, something.
Yeah, I got something lying around my office autographed, or I don't know, I'll figure it out, but you'll get a nice little prize. We'll get in contact with you. I mean, it's not gonna be something, you know, you're not winning fucking G1
tickets.
It's going to
be tickets to Wrestle Kingdom 12.
It's not going to be that. And yeah, so we'll get you something nice. Hey, you know what? I don't know if we mentioned it, Colin, in our live read, but you know, Gaijin Collectibles, they are giving away tickets to the G1 specials in Long Beach.
That's right. They do have that contest going on, and all of the rules are announced on their Facebook page. So definitely check that out. You're going to want to get in on that.
Yes, absolutely. Again, two tickets, both events. You got to take care of your own airfare and you got to take care of your lodging and all that shit. But you're getting in the building on a sold out show on a big fun night. Should be a blast. Again, we're having our little meetup. We'll talk about that a little bit more at the end of the show. So stick around for that. But yes, let's get back to the Never Six Man Belts. New tag team champions of LIJ. Good for them. You know, I see a long, successful title run for LIJ moving forward. All right, so let's do this. Colin.
Yeah.
I don't know who they're going to defend against in their first title defense, but let's do it right here and now. Does LIJ successfully defend the Never Openweight Six-Man Tag Team Championship of the World? Do they? Yes or no?
No.
They lose it right out of the gate.
I think they're going to have a match at Long Beach
on one of the
shows, and I think they're going to drop the belts there.
That's not a bad prediction, actually. That's not a bad prediction at all. I think it would be stupid of anybody to say that anyone's going to successfully defend, and Long Beach might be a good spot. All right, good call out of you, Colin. I like that. All right, so what else? What did you think of the match?
The match was fine. You know, we saw everything that we hate, pretty much. Mm-hmm. We saw Mist. We saw, oh boy, I'll tell you what. Even more so than Mists, I'm getting sick and tired of the ref bump spot.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh my god, that's even more so than Kenny Omega doing like goofy bullshit. The ref bump spot, that just screams like, this is just phony shit that's not meant to be taken seriously.
It looks throughout the history of pro wrestling, ref bumps occur. Right?
It's dated though at this point. It is so dated.
It is. It does. Doesn't it? Like, it just feels really dated. Like, that's, you nailed it again, Colin Miller.
I'm on fire. That's, what can I tell you?
You are on fire. That's exactly what it feels like. It feels like 1977 pro wrestling. You know what I mean?
What territory are we talking?
Probably fucking Mid-South.
Okay. Right? Okay.
But that's what it feels like. Like, it feels like we're at the point where, do we even need this? It's nonsense. Like, it just, I don't know. I feel, that's exactly how I feel. That's the word I would use to describe it. It's dated. It's dated pro wrestling. That's just like,
and it's not fun dated like whammy bar dives either.
Oh, or fucking the electric slide at a wedding. Right?
Right.
Right?
It's not fun dated.
Right. There's fun dated, and then there's, what the fuck? Dick Cavett show? What? Come on. Yeah. I'm in full agreement. Dated pro wrestling. And the Mist column. Oh, boy. Holy Hannah. This was Mist, then hit three more moves with the referee. Like people will give me the bullshit excuse of, well, you can't call what you can't see. Well, the guy's looking at him for like at least 2 minutes after the fucking Mist is blown. And it's not like there's a trickle. It is everywhere.
Oh, Taguchi's just drenched.
Oh, my God. From his nipples to his forehead. Oh, my goodness. I get it. It's pro wrestling, right? Why am I getting worked up over this? But yeah, it is dated. It is absolutely dated. It's like listening to fucking Candlebox. It's fucking dated. All right. Where are we now, Colin?
Well, now we are at Tomohiro Ishii versus Kenny Omega, which we did talk about in depth at the beginning of this broadcast. But again, I felt that... Okay, so when I watched their New Japan Cup match, we talked about it. I think that we both felt that, something was missing here. Something was missing. Don't know what it was, but wasn't what we thought it was going to be. Now this, when you look at Kenny Omega versus Tomohiro Ishii on paper and you think about how the match is going to be, this was that match.
I agree. And again, I didn't hate the New Japan Cup match by any stretch of the imagination. And we thought it was a great match. But again, going back and listening to it, you know, I'm just kind of like, something was left on the table or something. I don't know. This was a great match. This match made up for any shortcomings that I thought that maybe the New Japan Cup match had. Hard hitting, physical. Again, Omega has those knee strikes down pat. Oh, they're so fucking great. And there were plenty of times where I popped out of my chair for a lot of the headbutt spots and the dangerous looking spots and the knee strikes and the no sells and the clotheslines and just a great pro wrestling match. They went balls to the wall. Fun, exciting. What more can we say? That this was Kenny Omega. That we all love. This is Kenny Omega that we all wish we could see every day. This is Kenny Omega being one of the best pro wrestlers in the entire fucking world. Top five wrestler in the entire world. This is what everybody loves to see on big shows and big spots with Kenny Omega. I haven't seen it in a while, right? It's been a little bit since we've seen it. But to me, looking at this calendar year, this match is right behind the Tokyo Dome performance. And, you know, now we got Dominion where he can kind of anchor his year. You know, when he comes through at Dominion against arguably the best wrestler in the world right now. Yeah. I think the snowflakes are going to be falling, Colin. I hate to put undue pressure on the guy, but in the middle of June, we're going to have some fucking snowflakes come Dominion.
You know what I think happened in that New Japan Cup match while he was out of it?
What's that?
I think that one of the apartments he was looking at in Orlando, the rent was kind of higher than he expected. So
got a little down on it?
Yeah. I think that's what happened there.
Yeah.
So now he has an apartment locked in, so now he can think. You know?
Now get focus.
Right.
Okay. Right. Well, look.
That's my theory.
That's a lot of people's theories, unfortunately. That's a lot of people's theories. Well, let me ask you this, Colin.
Sure.
With that being said, do you give him the title? there is speculation.
If you want to keep him.
For sure. Yeah. If you think it's a bargaining chip?
I think so.
Okay. Do you think that is a strong enough bargaining chip to say, okay, we want you here. We're making a commitment to you. We're making you a focal point of these American shows. We're making you a focal point of this expansion that we're planning on doing. Do you think that's enough to say, okay, we're keeping Uncle Paul at bay?
Is that strong enough versus $1 million in front of your face? I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, I don't think he would be getting the normal NXT deal. Right?
No. I don't see him going there at all.
Okay. All right. Look, I think, let me ask this. I'm asking a lot of permission of you.
Hey, just ask me, Dave.
Just ask you. All right. Is this title run that we're all assuming will occur, is this a cup of coffee? Is this a quick hit? Is this a handful of months, if that?
I had that thought kind of rolling around in the back of my mind as well.
Right. Because the last thing you want to fucking have happen, Colin, is you got the title on this guy, and then he leaves.
Right. I would like to think that they would be cautious enough and smart enough not to let something like that happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was different with Nakamura, where he was IC champion. That's a different story. But, yeah, for your guy to, you know, your guy, the IWGP heavyweight champion.
Right.
For him to up and leave.
Yeah. So there would have to be some type of commitment, right? So New Japan would show the commitment in the sense of, okay, here's the title. Because I don't think he's going to sign any type of contract extension before Dominion, right? That's not going to happen, right?
I don't think so.
Right. I don't think so either. So you're going to give him the strap, okay? You're going to give him your title. In essence, you're kind of saying, okay, this is a short run, right? You have to if you're New Japan.
Especially if you're, you know, you were talking about Okada versus Naito for Wrestle Kingdom 12. Well, it would have to be a short run then, wouldn't it?
I think that's where they're going, right? Okay, but if you're Kenny Omega, see, it works both ways. I hate to be the guy, but it works both ways. The promotion has to say to Kenny and say, okay, here's our plan for this month, 3 months after G1, Dome, and then future, right? That has to be laid out to the guy, I would think, right? For him to kind of feel secure in the sense of, okay, they have plans for me. This is the roadmap. I like this plan. I'm not going to sign, Uncle Paul and Grandpa Vince, right?
Maybe Ghetto just tells him not to worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. We're good. I'll catch up with you. So if I'm Kenny Omega, yeah, I would want that reassurance. If I'm New Japan, though, I want some reassurance, too, that if I give you this fucking belt,
you're not going to leave me at the altar.
Yeah, that's a problem. So now we're at this crossroads of, well, I want a commitment. Well, I want a commitment. Oh, you put peanut butter in my chocolate. You put chocolate in my peanut butter. Right?
Do you like chocolate and peanut butter together?
I do. It's a nice little combination, Connor.
I agree.
That's where it feels like we're at. If you give Kenny Omega this belt at Dominion, where everybody's kind of leaning toward this happening, okay, is this going to be a quick hit? And then away we go. We're moving toward Okada and Naito. Then I'm going to say it right now. What the fuck's the point?
Right. Well, all I'll say is this. I did kind of put out the theory when Omega did decide to stay that the reason he was staying was to kind of tie up some loose ends in Japan, to accomplish some things that he had never accomplished before, including the IWGP heavyweight title, including wrestling Kota Ibushi in a New Japan ring. And I'm kind of still there, you know, at that thought that's kind of what this is.
There really hasn't been anything from either side to give you that good feeling otherwise, right?
Right.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but you're right.
I could be way off, but that's just the gut feeling that I get. And Omega even said himself, I think I'm going to stick around for another year.
Right.
At least another year, I believe were his exact words.
Yeah, at least another year. Okay, so again, if you're New Japan, a conversation has to be had before Dominion. I really feel like that's the only thing that could possibly, a direction for Kenny Omega has to be clear with him and clear with New Japan of what we're going to be doing with Kenny Omega, right? Because again, if he's winning the title at Dominion and losing it 2 months later or a month later, well, then what the fuck's the point? Just why not keep? Because Okada right now is red hot. He's having no problem drawing crowds. Shows that he's on are doing very successful.
And he's widely considered right now to be the best in the business, number one.
He's on a tremendous run, a career-defining run. And lest we forget, he's a young guy.
29 still, years old.
Yeah. So while you're sitting here getting depressed over fucking, Chase Owens, there's a guy you should be getting fucking depressed over, right?
No, because I wouldn't want that much pressure.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. He's carrying a company.
I kind
of
like the coast.
You like?
I'm definitely more of a coaster than a guy who's like at the front of the line, right? Waving the banner.
Yeah, you're C-level Bullet Club guy, right?
Yeah, I'm C-level Bullet Club.
That's a good role for Colin Miller, right? Okay. All right. Well, anyway, do we even make the move, Colin? Do we even swap out the belt?
Well, I'll tell you what. That would be a shocker if at Dominion Okada defeats Omega again. I think a lot of people would be like, wow.
That's that. Yeah. I'll tell you what a lot of people would be. A lot of people would be like, well, the handwriting's on the wall there. right? At least you'll have, you know, you'll have some kernel of hope that there was a conversation at Dominion to say, okay, here's where we're going, Kenny. Here's what our direction is. If Kenny Omega loses at Dominion, I don't think there's any question that he's WWE bound, right?
Even if he wins, it's still not 100%.
Right, but there's more of a chance.
Right.
Right. There's more of you getting a decent feeling that there's a commitment to Kenny. But again, do we even do that? Kyle, I'm gonna be truthful. I don't think it's a slam dunk that Kenny Omega walks away with at the belt at Dominion.
Neither do I, and you would think I think that most people think that it's a sure thing. I really do.
I do too. I think, you know, gun to people's heads, they really do. And again, we have an Access TV. Like, I hate to fucking do this again, but Colin, if this match was in Long Beach, I would feel a lot more confident in Kenny Omega's future with New Japan.
You're all about that match happening at Long Beach. Boy.
But do you see why?
Yeah, no, I do get it. I do get it.
Him winning the title on American soil.
He's not American, though.
It doesn't matter. It's about the U.S. expansion.
Right. Right. In North America.
In North America, fine. Live on Access television. That's an opportunity that you can't fucking dismiss. And him wrestling at Dominion doesn't have that same meaning.
One could I disagree with that completely.
Meaning's bad. Meaning's a poor choice. I'll take that back. I think that
it doesn't have the same certainty.
Again, Colin, with the wording. Yes, correct. Yes, Colin, I agree with that point. It's going to be a telling couple of weeks at New Japan and where we go with this. I'm still under the assumption that we're looking at Omega winning. I'm less than 50-50 on that, though, up to be truthful. And I think right now that Tokyo Dome looks like an Okada Naito main event to me. It really does. Until I get something I can sink my teeth into as the future of what Kenny Omega is up to.
And now we arrive at the main event of Dontaku for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. We've got the champion Okada defending against the challenger Bad Luck Fale. You know, Damon, they played the prepackaged vignette before the match, and they showed Bad Luck Fale's his career in New Japan. They showed him way back in 2010 when he was a lot lighter, say the least. But did you notice they had a little interview in there with Bad Luck Fale? And I'll be damned if he didn't come across as the biggest baby face going into that match. Like, he's talking about helping, like, the underprivileged kids in New Zealand. Like, this guy's a baby face. This is a monster baby face.
Yeah, and, like, he's a lovable guy. Yeah. He's like fucking, you know, babyface Big Show at this point.
I'm kind of rooting for him after I saw that.
Yeah, I felt the same way. Truth be told, I felt the same way.
Wow.
It didn't feel like he was the muscle of a lead heel group in New Japan. No, he didn't.
This is a very soft-spoken, gentle giant that wants to help out the kids.
Right. The troubled youth in New Zealand. Yeah. Right. He's going to open up some dojos. And
my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
was that intentional?
Is that intentional?
I thought about that promo more than I did the match.
That's a good point, Colin. This is the Colin Miller Show, kids.
Well, these are just things that occur to me as I'm watching.
I'm going to give you a solid. I don't know. New Japan's not one of those promotions, and we say it a lot, that does shit on a whim without the payback.
Right.
And you know, I was sitting here laughing as you were saying it, that I felt the same way of, man, that was a babyface promo if I ever heard one. I mean, aside from the end when he said he was going to crush his head or something, but you know, pro wrestling, whatever. But yeah, I mean, everything but was was babyface Fale.
Huh.
Something to think about. Something to think about as we move on.
It was very interesting to me.
Yeah, now that you mention it, me too. Good work out of you. Yeah. Possibly. You know, who knows? I'll give you a solid, I don't know. You know, better than no fucking way, but yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I just want to rewind a little bit. What
Sure.
Give me stars. Give me stars, Ishii, Omega.
I am going. Well, the question is, do I want to go the full five? Here's the thing. If I was watching this live, I think I might have been more inclined to give it a five, if that makes any sense to you. But because I already knew the results, I knew what was going on here. I'm gonna go 4 3/4.
Wow. Okay. I thought this would definitely be a five star for you. I really did. Here's one thing I have learned about you. You're very hesitant with the five. You got five star fears.
I don't like to be so quick to pull that trigger.
Yeah. Was this five?
If you have to think about it,
yeah,
then forget it.
Ass hair way. I would put this match on the same level as Elgin and Naito, was it?
Yeah.
I would put it right there where it was just a fucking ass hair away from five.
Although that did get five.
Meltzer gave it five. I gave it an ass hair away. And you're right. If I had to think about it, then I can't necessarily say five. So I'm going to go ass hair away from five. Closest you can get. Closest. And what is it? I don't know. Who cares? Just shut me up. Go, move on. Fale Okada.
Fale Okada. Damon, what did you think of this match? I thought that I thought it was very good.
I thought it was very good as well. And we said it, that it wasn't sexy on paper. You know, we went into it thinking, we kind of saw this before, and, you know, are we looking forward to it? I don't know, blah, blah, blah. But we said, yeah, it'll probably be a good match, right? Yeah. And again, it was more of us kind of working ourselves up into the fact that it's Okada and Fale, and we have to kind of almost convince ourselves. This was a good, solid pro wrestling match. Again, we haven't seen this from Fale in quite a long time, but this was one of Fale's best performances, should I say. Thoroughly enjoyed the match. I would probably put it in a, if we're talking snars, Colin.
Snars.
Snars.
How many
it's
snars?
It's a combination of a snowflake and a star, Colin. A snar, right?
I like it.
Yeah. 4.
4. Okay. I thought you were going to go 4 1/4.
Yeah. I feel like it's better than 4, but not 4.5. So that
would be 4 1/4.
That would be 4 1/4.
My favorite rating.
It is your favorite. Remember that? Rating. Oh, how can I forget? It's fucking one of the greatest moments of the show's history. 4 1/4, Colin. Are you out of your mind? Did I say 4 1/4? I meant 4 3/4.
Well, I never have been good at math, but
yeah, I think again, not quite 4.5. But better than 4. So that's saying something. Once again, Okada having a masterful year. Masterful year. And he gets by the big man. And Fale putting on a performance that might go down as one of his better ones of his career.
I agree. And one thing I want to mention, because I was listening to the English commentary feed. And,
did they mention us?
I already said no.
Oh.
I said that earlier.
Pricks.
Okay. Number one, I thought that Don Callis, by far, this was his best performance on commentary. You can tell he's feeling much more comfortable now. Now he knows all the performers.
He doesn't know us.
He doesn't know us. He doesn't know us, but him and Kevin Kelly are really, really gelling together a lot better as a unit. This was their best performance by far. And Kevin Kelly, he was talking about Fale's weight in this match. Okay. Don Callis had mentioned that he was 340, and I think he asked Kevin Kelly, like, what are the advantages and disadvantages of that? And Kevin Kelly was saying, well, you know, at 340 pounds, he can really use that weight to his advantage to crush his opponents, but it also means that his matches can't go very long.
Right.
That's what he said. And it was like, I don't know. I just found that funny that Kevin Kelly was saying, yeah, he can't go very long with all that weight.
Well, right, and then you know, with the match, what was you had the timestamp in front of you?
Actually, the match was pretty fucking long.
That's what I'm saying.
It was 21 minutes and 47 seconds.
Right. So there you go. Listen, I think this is one of the best Fale performances we've seen. I mean, I think you'd have to go back to, you know, previous Okada matches and even you know, Nakamura matches and Tanahashi matches. Again, you're in the ring with a very special opponent when it comes to Okada. So at this point, I really feel like Okada could fucking get 4 stars out of this Powerade bottle I have in front of me. It's an amazing run that he's on, and it's always a pleasure. But Fale deserves full marks. He did a great job, played his role well. People talk about that a lot, you know, his big man role. So this was a very good performance. This was again, probably one of his best. And to go 20 minutes at that weight, that's probably not the easiest thing to do.
Can I ask you a question?
Oh, no. I knew this was going to turn into a fucking... Go ahead.
What?
I thought you were going to fat shame me.
No. See, again, you're thinking things that I'm not even... that aren't even on my mind.
Not even on your radar. All right, well, that's good. All right, what do you got? What's your question?
I was going to ask you, if Fale, let's say he were to drop a lot of weight here and get down to... oh, I don't know, 270. I'm just throwing that number out there.
Okay.
Could he be like a big league player if he were to get down to like 270, you know, be a lot more mobile, certainly at that weight, I would think. Could he be more than what he is now?
It's hard to say. I tend to think probably not. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think you're going to see him turn into, you know, fucking Kenta Miyahara. He's, you know, he's not going to turn into what do we think? What do you think? Like a Goto?
Perhaps.
Like a Makabe?
Something like that.
Yeah. Look, I think he's got a nice role. Who else has like he's carved out a nice little spot for himself in New Japan. Like, who else has that role?
No one.
Yeah. I mean, he is the monster.
He's the monster of New Japan.
He really is, you know, and that's a respected role in New Japan. You know, you look through the history of that promotion, they, you know, it's a nice spot to have. So, I for his health, I would like to see him drop a couple pounds. For my health, I'd like to see me drop a couple pounds.
Me too. For the longevity of this podcast.
Fucking keel over of a heart attack. I think losing a couple pounds could probably help him, but I don't think he needs to go that drastic. I think he's got a role. He does it well, and that's that. Now, but unfortunately, now you know what that means. Now we got another fucking year of him doing nothing, right?
Yeah.
Like just being stuck in six-man tags and shit.
Well, that's why I asked that question. If he got down to that weight, would he be more than he is now? Throughout the course of the year,
no, I don't think he's going to be like a top five guy. No, I think he's a guy. I think he's a guy that you can move in and move out and go from there.
Alrighty, so from there, obviously we have our main event for Dominion, but before that, Damon, we've got Best of the Super Juniors coming up. That starts on May 17th, I believe. And let's talk about both of these blocks, which were announced at Dontaku.
Yep. Block A is a blowaway block.
Block A, let's go down the list here.
Go through the list.
For Block A. This is insane. Okay, so we've got Liger.
Great.
Ricochet.
Tremendous.
Dragon Lee.
Tremendous.
His first appearance. Will Ospreay.
Tremendous.
Marty Scurll.
Which is a nice addition. I think it is a fantastic compliment. I mean, listen, at the very least, you know you're going to get a really great match out of those two, Skrull and Ospreay, who've wrestled 250 million times. So that's going to be great. And again, all the new fresh matchups that he'll bring to the table. Good. I'm excited for that.
Tai Chi.
Look, somebody's got to lose, right?
That's right. The world needs ditch diggers, too.
The world needs ditch diggers, too, Danny.
Taka Michinoku.
Okay, we need other people to lose as well.
Yep, that's right.
I want to see. Wait, so they're in the same block now, mind you.
Yeah,
is that going to cause any Suzuki Goon Heat.
Hopefully it implodes.
It falls upon itself. All right.
And last but not least, in the A block, Hiromu Takahashi.
Wow. Colin, look at the possible matchups.
Takahashi versus Ospreay, which we're guaranteed to see.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't want to see that. You wanted to keep them separate, didn't you?
I did. I wanted that to maybe be the match for Dominion.
Yeah. That won't be there you go. You're not going to see that. Right?
Right.
Well, no, what am I talking about?
Well, still possible.
It's still possible. Yeah, absolutely.
But unlikely, probably.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But that block A is fantastic. And the stuff that dreams are made of, minus the Suzuki Goon. But again, I'd rather have those type of clowns take pinfalls than, there's not many names that are not in it. You know what I mean? Like, there's not many names that are glaringly missing from being in this tournament.
Let's go over the B block.
Okay, B block.
A B block, not quite as sexy, but we've got Tiger Mask, four, not W, Taguchi,
mm-hmm.
Kushida,
mm-hmm.
Volador Jr., which I'm happy about.
Yeah.
ACH, very nice surprise.
Yeah, that was a very pleasant surprise.
Kanemaru.
Uh-huh.
El Desperado.
Uh-huh.
And Bushi.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so again, the B block, we're not going to see as much action out of that, but...
Here's what you're going to be able to do, though. You're going to be able to... We're going to wind up watching these matches because we do a podcast on New Japan Pro
Wrestling. We'll be watching every single one of them. Don't you worry.
But for a lot of people, they can really cherry pick the best matches, you know? And that's going to... You're going to be able to do that. Now, I will go into this with a little bit of warning. This does have the potential of disappointing a lot of people on these, early round shows, right? Right? Some of these sexy matchups might not deliver all a full throttle of snowflakes that you might expect, okay? We do have to temper our expectations a little bit. I'm going to go into it with a little bit of that in my mind, because there's no way that all of those matches you're going to walk away and be like, oh my God, every match was at least 4 stars. I know we're going to come back and be like, that match was tremendous, but boy, was I disappointed with blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Right.
And all the blah, blah, blahs will be Suzuki Goon members.
But you're not going into that with any expectations. You know you're going to get just mind-numbingly frustrated with it. So I'm not even worried about it. That's getting a fucking hand wave right out of the gate. And if they surprise me with something great, all the better. But I'm going into it just whatever. But and again, I'm just picking names out of a fucking hat, guys. But we're going to come across a show in the middle of nowhere. And it's like Ospreay against Dragon Lee. And we're going to be like, what the fuck? Look at the two names on here. It's probably not even a 4-star match. Which, that's going to happen. It's going to happen, Colin, right?
Ospreay versus Dragon Lee not being a four-star match?
I'm picking names out of a hat, right? My point being is that you're not going to get...
Right, I know where you're going.
This all over the place. Like, every night's not going to be tremendous.
No.
And again, with the names in that A block, you could just pick names out of a hat and have these two together and be like, on paper, this looks like a great match.
I just hope that Takahashi doesn't kill Liger. You know what I mean? Like, one Death Valley driver in the corner. Poor Liger.
Yeah. Yeah, Liger's going to have some fun. We talked a lot. This has been like the checklist. People getting a check the box. Liger's going to be doing a lot of that with the young kids, right? I'm sure he's pumped up for this. He's got a lot of sexy matchups. Even Liger Ospreay.
Yeah, Liger Marty Scurll.
Liger Marty Scurll. That should be fun. There's a lot of potentially great matchups. Again, I'm a little hesitant, again, because I know there's going to be a show in the middle of nowhere that's going to have a real sexy match, and I'm going to walk away with it, be like, wow, what the fuck? This should have been tremendous, and it was okay.
I've got your token comedy match from the A block.
Go ahead.
Liger versus Tai Chi. You know there's going to be some interactions with Liger and Tai Chi's girl.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Liger's a bit of a pervert, so he'll...
He's a dirty old man.
He is. He'll have some fun. He'll have some fun. That'll be again, we need to just go into it and with expectations. So it'll be great. There might be some disappointment sprinkled in there. Just hang on, kids. We'll be okay.
One thing I do want to mention, when I was looking at these blocks for Best of the Super Juniors, I noticed that there was no Zack Sabre Jr. in the mix because I thought that he was coming in as a junior heavyweight. However, I'm very, very happy to announce that Zach is going to be in the G1 this year.
Yeah. Is it official?
That per the Observer,
huh,
it says that... I'll read it verbatim. Because Zack Sabre Jr. is not being categorized as a heavyweight here after always being a junior in NOAH, he's not in the Best of the Super Juniors tournament, but instead is in the G1 this year.
Okay. You heard it from Big Dave.
That's right.
All right. That's good news. Yeah, I consider him more of a heavyweight.
So do I.
Okay. All right, I'll take that. Who's the most surprising name?
Marty Skrull.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. I was gonna say ACH, but yes, yeah, Skrull probably deserved it too. I'm probably more excited for ACH. I think ACH is going to bring a ton of energy to this.
Oh,
I'm excited.
He's phenomenal.
Good tournament, Colin. This is something to look forward to.
Oh, it's gonna be a lot of fun.
I think so. All right. Good stuff there on the Best of the Super Juniors. Any predictions for a winner?
I'm going to have to go with Kushida.
Not a bad pick. Kushida's, he's got to get some redemption. I think it's a good pick. Good pick. All right. So there you go. Best of the Super Juniors. What else we got? Anything else?
I just wanted to mention that tickets for these access shows, these Long Beach shows, it's your last chance on May the 8th, which, depending on when you're listening to this, if you're listening to this Sunday night, May the 8th is a Monday, so they're going on sale 7 p.m. Pacific time, all right? That's your last chance.
10 o'clock Eastern, right?
Right, 10 o'clock Eastern time. Tickets are going to be $30 each. Again, these are tickets for the July 1st and July 2nd shows. They added some new seats, so this is your last chance. Tickets on sale Monday, May 8th, 10 o'clock Eastern time, 7 p.m. Pacific. Just thought I'd throw that out there in case you're listening to this fine broadcast before then.
Yep, standing room only, though.
All right.
There they are. There are standing room only. So, but again, you're going to be on your feet the whole time anyway. You don't even need a chair.
Sit down.
Yeah, me too. Okay, good stuff. So that's going to be a packed house. We talked about the G1 in Long Beach. We talked about Kenny Omega. We talked about our views on Dontaku. Decent show. Great match with Omega and Ishii. Little Best of the Super Juniors. You know what? We got the War of the World shows coming up. They should be fun. We got Los Ingobernables there. We got Tanahashi's on these shows. So they'll be fun. I'll be there. I'll be there in New York come Friday, so come say hi. I'll also be in Philadelphia as well. So, again, I look forward to seeing a lot of our listeners at the War of the World shows for Ring of Honor.
And I look forward to seeing a lot of our listeners at Metallica this Friday in Philadelphia. Please stop by, say hi.
Seriously. I'm sure there'll be a few, right? I'm sure we'll see some people there. And again, keep in mind, Long Beach, we have our three-way dance meetup. Myself from the New Japan Purocast, as well as representatives coming in from not only the Classic Facebook group, Scott Winter will be joining us, but also the New Japan subreddit. We're excited for that. That's coming up on Saturday, the 1st of July, right after the G1 show. We'll head over to Beachwood Barbecue. We have secured a location. There'll be tons of people there. There'll be lots of fun. We'll talk about the shows. Heck, I might even bring a recorder, and we might record some stuff while we're there. So It'll be a good time. So again, Beachwood Barbecue, July 1st, right after the G1 shows. Meet up with the boys from the Reddit subreddit, New Japan group, the classic board, as well as myself from the New Japan Purecast. So look forward to seeing everybody there. That should be a fun time as well.
All right, very good, Damon. So once again, we just want to thank all of our great listeners out there for all of the support. Remember, NewJapanPurocast.com, your one-stop shop for all things Purocast. Listen to the shows as they are uploaded directly on there. Also, links to all social media, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, the whole bit. And you can listen to us on the great Voices of Wrestling podcasting network, VoicesOfWrestling.com. And we're going to be back here next weekend to preview the first Best of the Super Juniors 24 shows. Damon, any final thoughts?
No, we got a busy slate coming up. Again, it's a good time of the year for New Japan Pro Wrestling. We're looking forward to it. Best of the Super Juniors, G1 specials, Dominion, and then right around the corner is G1. So if you're looking for some meat to sink your teeth into, kids, you're here. Stay with us. We'll have all of it covered for you.
As Damon said, lots and lots and lots of fun coming up in the land of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys right here next weekend for more Purocast action. Later.